up. Let me see you get low. This is going down for real. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are exactly 1 week away from the National Football League draft in 2015. The Browns, of course, having 10 picks, two in the first round. Ray Farmer spoke with the media earlier today. We will have that interview in its entirety later today. We'll break it up into two parts for you. Part one at 1:30, part two at 2 o'clock. We want to hear your thoughts on what Ray Farmer had to say, if you've heard it already. What do you think about the draft? Are you feeling the same buzz you always do? Are you as excited as you were last year leading up to the draft? What do you want to see the Browns do a week out here? We will have NFL media analyst Lance Zierlein with us at 1:05 p.m. We will also hopefully have, there's a rumor.
Uh-oh.
Caw-caw. Perhaps he could be joining us here on today's program. But it's Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm with you. We'll even play a little after further review as well. So we got a lot to get to. What's up, bro?
Yes, we do. I'm good, man. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the trip to Chicago simply because I have a positive feeling about what's going to happen for the Cleveland Browns in the first round, especially Thursday. Not saying that Ray Farmer by any means is a slouch when it comes to day two and three. But I have a great feeling about
great on day two and three.
What we're going to do at 12 and 19. Exactly.
Yeah, we just want to see him hit it out of the park.
That's right.
In the first round. And listen, I think the jury's still very much out on Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert. Actually was just down in the cafe, saw Johnny sitting around with a bunch of his teammates at a table, which was good to see. Not necessarily something you saw all the time last year. And he looked to be in very good spirits. The team seemed to be good. Talked to Carlos Dansby, talked to Pierre Desir. Everybody's fired up, excited to be back, very happy with the direction that things are going. When you talk about Ray Farmer going into his second year, people sometimes forget that last year it was a very abbreviated period that he had to get ready. He didn't become the GM until after last season, so he had a very quick draft process with a whole new set of coaches. I think if I took anything away today, it was about how his process is different. He's had the time. He's got his guys in place on the scouting staff, the coaches he's worked with before, and now he just has a good feel of what to do for this team. And he also made a statement that I really agree with. If the Browns had to go play football today, I would feel better about their roster right now than I did at the end of last year.
Yes, I would too.
So that's a good thing when you think about the fact that you're also going to be adding in 10 picks to that. It gives them the luxury, because we've gone through the starters on offense and defense, and we can do that later on, but basically to go after the best player available, take no position off the board, force no position on the board.
It really does, and that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about the Cleveland Browns' ability. This is, again, my perspective on what's going to happen. Is that the Cleveland Browns can go get the number one player when they draft at 12 and the number one player on their board when they draft at 19. Because this is not a football team that can get cute and fancy with, you know, moving around or, you know, getting a developmental pick. We need immediate impact. We need immediate starters. And as I've said for the longest time, you saw what, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. did in New York. You saw what Sammy Watkins did in Buffalo. You see the players around us and where we were drafting last year. Guys making immediate impacts, and I think that's where some of the frustration lies when it comes to Browns fans, and even maybe some of the negativity surrounding Ray Farmer, because everyone else around us is getting it right and seeing that return on that number one pick, and we're not, at least not yet. And this is our second, or Ray Farmer's first true opportunity, as you said, working with these coaches in now their second year, working with all of his scouts and having a year's worth of his guys' evaluations on these prospects to go out and get it right.
And that's what he's going to do. That's what I'm excited about, is that he seems so confident. And I got to talk to him, do an interview that'll be on the draft show the night of the draft on News Channel 5. He's very confident in his process, very confident in his board. It's locked up. They're ready to go. So I think it's good. It's exciting. Obviously, he's going to want to get some impact out of those first two picks. But it's about a draft class as a whole, and I think last year he did a very good job with the draft class as a whole. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year and also see what he can do about whether or not, you know, what he can do in this first round, get it done. Question I want to throw out there, too, is that yesterday there were rumors that the Browns could be possibly a part of whatever Phillip Rivers trade happens. We'll talk with you about that, you know, later. But I want people to start thinking about, would you want Phillip Rivers? Would you give a first-round pick for Phillip Rivers, given where he is in his career right now? Because, you know, it instantly would make you a playoff contender.
It would.
I would be. It's an interesting discussion, and we'll get to that. Gibbs, do we have our great guest to open the show?
All right, we'll keep
going. Well, all right, then we'll keep going.
And you know, the one other perspective hearing from Ray this morning is, and I'm sure they're not, I believe they're not coached to say this because I think both of these men, Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, are their own men in regards to what comes out of their mouth, but they're speaking to the same accord. And that coincides with what you said in the fact that they've had a year to figure each other out. They've had a year to you know, downtime, to have conversations, you know, intimately about the direction of this club. And now things are so much more concrete in regards to whose role is what and what is the direction of the club and what is Coach Pettine, you know, like as a defensive player? What is Jim O'Neill like as a defensive player? You've got John DeFilippo coming here. What is he like, you know, and what fits his offensive system? And then Ray chews up all that information and spits that out on his board. And as he said, it being set right now and really only maybe an off-the-field problem or an injury prior to the draft is going to impact that board.
Joining us now from NFL.com, he just released a mock draft, his most recent mock draft, very recently. He's an NFL media analyst. You can follow him on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein, that's Zierlein. You can see him on NFL Draft Live, which provides live coverage of the 2015 NFL Draft, Thursday, April 30th through Saturday, May 2nd on NFL.com, NFL Mobile from Verizon, and NFL Now. Lance, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing great. I see your most recent mock draft is out there. You talk about what you've got the Browns doing at 12 and 19.
Oh, let's see. You have to remind me because
Devontae Parker at 12.
Oh, yeah, Devontae. Well, they do backflips if Devontae Parker were there. And I think Devontae Parker, the more I talk to teams after I release my mock, it's funny. When you release these mocks, now I'm starting to hear from a lot more teams with a lot more information. And I had one team tell me that they would be astonished if Parker was falling to 12. They thought 11 was the final team place for Devontae Parker at the very latest. So, you know, if I had to redo it again, I might not have Devontae Parker there. But if he's out, I would have to think he's Cleveland's pick. And then at 19, once again, Nathan?
Eddie Goldman.
Oh, yeah. Well, as far as that's concerned, you guys know that having a force in the middle, finding that force in the middle and a run stuffer is something that Pettine would love to have, and a guy who's reliable and dependable. This is, I mean, Goldman is, to me, he can play either line spot, either on the end or in the middle. I think he's made for the middle. He is a run stuffer now. Behind Shelton, he's the finest run stopper in this draft. And actually, I think there's actually a little higher floor on him than on Shelton. So I think from a safety standpoint, I mean, you know, if you want to look for a safe pick and an effective pick and one who's not sexy, it would be Goldman. That would be a little earlier than I would typically want to draft him. But, you know, once you fix yourself up the middle, it really changes what offenses can do to you. So I actually, based on what I put together, I actually thought the Browns had a pretty good draft. And I'm in the midst of a seven-round mock. And, you know, I didn't realize the Browns have a couple extra picks. And
yeah.
I think the Browns have a chance to put together a little bit of a draft here. And, you know, honestly, with these additional picks the Browns have, it wouldn't shock me. I've heard the Browns like Danny Shelton. It wouldn't shock me if the Browns maybe tried to move up. If Shelton slipped past the Bears at 7, if the Browns didn't start digging around maybe a little bit on what it would take to move up and get Shelton.
And we like Danny Shelton a lot here, talking with Lance Zierlein from NFL.com. Lance, so Devontae Parker at 12. Let's say Devontae Parker is off the board and Shelton's off the board. What do you see the Browns doing at 12?
You know, if those guys are both off the board, I mean, you really are in a position right now where, to me, I still think that if the right tackle is there, if you get a tackle that you really like, and I think a guy like Andre Speed, if he's there, could play, could absolutely play in that scheme. You know, I think Schwartz has been okay. I think he's been okay at that right tackle spot. I think he can do better. And so when you want to talk about best on the board, to me, I don't think I would reach for a wide receiver there. You'd have three wide receivers off the board. You know, I might look at that defensive tackle spot. You could, you know, I just, I wouldn't, you know, I don't mind that. Obviously, the secondary is in pretty good shape. There's no inside backers that you want that early in the draft. I think I would probably take a look at the best tackle on the board, whoever you have rated there, and say, hey, let's do what we did early in the season, which is dominate up front, as opposed to, you know, when the Browns kind of got into a little bit of a hole at times offensively in the middle of the year, which didn't make sense to me. You went from dominating on the ground to being just so-so on the ground. So at times, I mean, you know, turning back to dominating. So I'd probably take a look at best offensive lineman available and building the trenches.
Lance, you have Marcus Mariota going number two overall to the Tennessee Titans, but the one thing that we hear essentially across every platform out there that's covering the NFL and the NFL draft is, in some way, shape, and form, the Cleveland Browns are being linked to another quarterback, whether it be as a part of the Phillip Rivers trade, acquiring Sam Bradford, and or making a move to Marcus Mariota. How realistic are those, and why won't those rumors of the Browns being involved with Marcus Mariota in some way, shape, and form go away?
I don't think they'll go away because you got two first-round picks, and your quarterback coach now worked with Johnny in the offseason. I mean, worked with Mariota in the offseason. I mean, you know, I think those are the two – and you don't really have a quarterback now unless you find out what Johnny can do. So I think when you add everything up, as long as you have two draft picks, everyone's always going to assume that the team with two first-round picks is potentially going to make a move, especially if they have a position of need like quarterback. And now you hear Mariota's name getting a little bit hot. I don't think Tennessee takes him at two. I think there's a really good chance he goes second, but I really don't think Tennessee is the team that locks in on him. I've heard that they are not enamored with him. So I think when you add everything up, you can see why that's not going to go away. Now, if I'm Cleveland, I got to be honest with you. I think that there's enough holes there on that roster where with your draft picks, you don't want to give too many away, because I think Cleveland's good shape to find four solid core players this year, and maybe two really good ones and two really solid ones.
I agree.
You build a core. You know, building a core helps you win long-term. Shooting for the stars with a quarterback, that's really a dangerous proposition, because it turns into you're pushing all your chips in on one hand, and it gets tough.
You went with Eddie Goldman over Malcolm Brown. We've seen Malcolm Brown linked to the Browns many times. What are the differences between those two, and why do you like Goldman as a prospect better than Malcolm Brown?
You know what? I'm not a huge fan of Malcolm Brown's fit with the Cleveland Browns. To be honest with you, I think Brown is a pure one gap player. He can two gap some as a run stopper when he's single block. He can't handle double teams. He crumbles at double teams. And Eddie Goldman can handle double teams. He's the big, thick, burly, strong interior player. So for me, I just think Malcolm Brown is the better pass rusher. You know, I'll give him that. But when it comes to just stopping people dead in their tracks and owning a piece of territory, being a pure 3-4 guy, to me, that's Goldman. That's not Malcolm Brown. I think Malcolm Brown is a one-gapper all day long.
Lance, the Cleveland Browns most recently in Mel Kiper's mock draft, as well as a local analyst, Pat McManaman, have the Browns going Todd Gurley at 19. Do you think that's a pick in a guy that could essentially, you know, keep a young, very young here with Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell all being in their second year? But is he a game breaker, an Adrian Peterson type of guy that you know, that late in the draft would be an acquisition that you'd see the Cleveland Browns potentially make?
Oh, without question. I mean, without question. And if you want me to be honest, I think Elvis Gordon could absolutely fit that as well. Here's the problem: my mock came out, and I had those guys where I did. You know, I had somebody tell me, Lance, I'll be shocked if Todd Gurley gets into the 20s.
Yeah, he's in top 10 now.
Yeah, in fact, what I'm hearing is Todd Gurley could go as high as the Atlanta Falcons at 8. And you know, I've seen mock drafts that are plugging him in at 6 to the New York Jets. I think Shane Ray is going to fall because of an injury issue. I think you're going to have Randy Gregory fall because of, you know, some character concerns there in the drug test. And if that happens, it's going to really change the draft board, because we've all been saying, oh, boy, Dante, right? You know, you've got Dante Fowler and Shane Ray and Vic Beasley and Randy Gregory. This is the draft for outside linebackers. What happens if two of them fall and they fall way down the draft board? Well, now everyone's priorities are going to have to change. So, you know, for me, I think Gurley is a guy that's going to see he's really going to benefit his draft stock. And since Gurley and Melvin Gordon, and I haven't talked to one team that disagrees with this, those two guys are clearly the two best running backs, and it's really not close. Where one guy goes, the next one's going to go shortly thereafter. That's how that's going to happen. There's going to be a two-man run at the running back position. It will be, I think, Gurley 1 and Gordon 2.
talking with Lance Zierlein from NFL.com. You can catch him throughout the entire draft on NFL.com, NFL Mobile, and Verizon, and NFL Now on NFL Draft Live. That'll be the show that he is on, providing live coverage of the 2015 NFL Draft. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. Lance, offensive line, that's, I know, something you are very, very good at evaluating. You talked about the Browns, talked about Mitchell Schwartz. What do you think of Michael Bowie, who they brought in from Seattle, who sat out last year but started for the Seahawks 8 times on their Super Bowl season, as kind of being that draft pick at tackle? And where do you see a guy like Cam Irving fitting in? Because that, to me, would be the guy, if the Browns are going to take an O-lineman in the first round, he can come in and start at guard for you, and then if Alex Mack leaves after next year, you can just plug him right in at center.
Necessarily. Now, everyone, there's an assumption that you can move from left tackle to right tackle and vice versa. You just, every guy can bump in from tackle to guard or guard to center, that these pieces are interchangeable, and they're really not. Now, we did see that Cam could move from tackle to center, so I'm guessing that he'd be able to function in that zone scheme with the guard position, and then eventually, like you said, you know, he transitions over and he becomes your eventual starting center in place of Mac down the road. I'm okay with doing that with Cam Irving. I think that, you know, I wouldn't do it in the first, I can tell you that much. And with Bowie, I think he's just a guy. I think you plug him in and you let him compete for that tackle spot, but I don't really consider him to be someone where you say, okay, we got our tackle position fixed. If you don't believe that your tackle position is where it needs to be, then I don't think the combination of Schwartz and Bowie is going to be a combination where you say, okay, now it's good. I don't see that happening.
Lance, I think the consensus is out on Amari Cooper, Kevin White, and Devontae Parker, right, who you have going at 12 to the Cleveland Browns, are the top-tier wide receivers. Who do you have graded as the best of that second tier, the Jalen Strongs, the Perrimans, the Dorial Green-Beckhams, and right, those guys?
Aguilar.
I think, for me, it's Perryman. I think his upside is just immense. You're talking about elite speed, and I mean, the term elite gets thrown out a lot. There's not one person who is at his pro day, and a lot of times you'll hear embellishing about pro day times. There was not one NFL team, nowhere can you find anyone who was in the 4.3s for him. He was 4.2, fill in the blank. So we're talking about elite speed. We're talking about plus size. Now, the downside for him is that he hasn't played to that speed all the time, and he doesn't have great hands. His hands right now are an issue, and I don't think he's ever going to have great hands. You just want him to have average hands. So that's the downside. But when it comes to the physical traits, Perryman is your feast or famine wide receiver, and I think he's the kind of guy that I'd most want to take a shot on if I had the chance to take a shot at that next wide receiver. After that, Jalen Strong's the fail-safe. But Jalen Strong's really, to me, is Dwayne Bowe. A very good possession receiver.
Yep,
make
not a
covered
game-breaker.
Catches. Yeah, but he's not a game-breaker. He's not a vertical guy. Now, those kind of wide receivers have a lot of value. I like those guys. Not in the first. I didn't like Dwayne Bowe in the first when he came out, and I don't like Jalen Strong in the first. after that, I'd say Dorial Green-Beckham would be the guy who's right there. But for me, I just think there's a lot of bust all over him. I wouldn't touch him personally. The guy that I really love, and I'd love him for the Browns, I'd love him for anyone, and that's Philip Dorsett from Miami. The most unguardable guy in this draft. I mean, I just think that from a pure speed standpoint, now he's limited on what he can do.
Small.
But from a pure explosion standpoint, when I watched Miami tape, it was amazing how much attention he got. I mean, he may not have been on many draft radars to start the season, but he was on every secondary, you know, every defensive coordinator. He was all over their radars because every bit of coverage is shaded to him almost every single time he's in the game. So he's one of those guys that will have an impact with the plays he makes and the plays he opens up for other people.
Lance, so that all being said, if for whatever reason it doesn't pan out and the Cleveland Browns go, you know, pass rusher O-line or D-line O-line,
right,
or pass rusher D-line in the first round at 12 and 19, do you think them sitting so early in the second round at the 43rd overall pick that one of those second-tier wide receivers will still be on the board and we'll get a quality pass catcher?
Boy, you know what? I'll be honest with you. The way that my mock went down, I had a run on wide receivers. I have Jalen Strong available. And maybe I would take Jalen Strong in the second round if I were Cleveland and then look for some speed later on. Devin Smith would be a fantastic guy to lock in on, but he's a little bit more limited as well. I mean, you'd like to have someone to tie in next to Jalen on a full-time basis. So I mean, not Jalen, but Devin on a full-time basis. So Devin Smith might be there at that pick for the Browns, but after you get past Devin and Brashad Perryman's gone and Dorsett is gone and Jalen Strong is gone, now you're in the position where, you know, you may have to wait it out a little bit and continue to just go best available. And I'm not sure that the Browns want to be in that position. And honestly, that's why I'm just not really super excited about the Browns trading. You know, I'd rather have the flexibility with my draft picks.
Absolutely.
To play it a little bit differently than start giving away draft picks to move up. I just don't think I'm sold on that concept when you're almost in a position where you have to find a wide receiver. You really are.
Yeah, and hopefully they can get one there in the second round. Of these quarterbacks, we just talked Winston and Mariota. Of the quarterbacks, the Hundley, the Bryce Petty, the Garrett Grayson, Sean Mannion, that next tier, any of those guys you think can develop into starters in the NFL and anybody that, you know, the Browns should take a look at in the, you know, maybe second to fourth rounds?
Ooh, second to fourth. I mean, I would maybe fourth. I wouldn't take anything second or third if I'm the Browns.
Okay.
Fourth round, yeah, the guys I would look at in order for what the Browns do, I'd say would be Grayson one. And this is for the Browns offense. I would say Grayson would be one. I would probably say Hundley two and then Petty three.
Yeah, I'm not.
And then, but I don't think there's different strengths and weaknesses. I think Grayson is the guy who maybe has the chance to come in and play quickly. Petty's got the highest upside of those three. And then Sean Mannion is another guy. My comp on Sean Mannion is Matt Schaub.
Okay.
You put him in a zone scheme where you play action and you roll him out and, you know, you draft him in the sixth round. He's a guy that actually might surprise you a little bit and maybe turn into a pretty good backup with a chance of giving you some starts whenever you need him here and there, like Hoyer gave you. But, boys, we're not going to talk very long about these quarterbacks once you get past the top two because there's not much to say. Not in terms of being the next starting quarterback for the Browns.
Lance, appreciate the time, the great insight as always. Folks, you can catch up with Lance on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. And, of course, you can see him on NFL Draft Live, which provides live coverage of the 2015 NFL Draft Thursday, April the 30th through Saturday, May 2nd on NFL.com, NFL Mobile from Verizon, and NFL Now. Lance, always a pleasure. Are you going to be out in Chicago?
No, I'm going to be in Culver City, Los Angeles, waiting for that draft broadcast.
You'll be in a much better climate. That'll be good. Well, I'll miss seeing you at the draft, and be well, and thanks for the great stuff.
All right, we'll see you guys. Take care.
All right. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Get into Twitter, and then coming up around 1:30 or just a little bit after that, we are going to play part one of Ray Farmer's press conference today, 1 week out from the 2015 NFL Draft.